final guest speaker for HerpCon 3 2007 here in Spokane, Washington, USA, we have Joe Mandela. Take it away, Joe.
Thank you. We've heard several of the speakers over the weekend talking about development of material, time, and effort that it takes to develop that material. What I'd like to talk about is sort of the, a little bit about the history of the development of the different accepted standards of that material, and sort of an encouragement for those that are out there that might listen to the recordings and might be watching, to continue on with the development of new material and possibly eventually new standards. Now, first of all, there's the question of who does this work? And right now the answer to that question is we do that work. There is actually a very small number of people who do the vast majority of the work with Midwater Canyon. I'd like to sort of illustrate the development of this group of people with a very brief recap, if you'll pardon the brief foray into self-vanity with a history of my own involvement. Initially, I got involved in the very, very late 80s and early 90s with Iron Crown Enterprises. The first and very first article that I ever got published, which I was very, very excited about at the time, was in Great Worlds Magazine a long, long time ago. I can't even remember the name of the article, but I do remember that it was a very poor article. I've gone back and in preparation for this weekend, looked at some of my old materials, and was actually quite embarrassed at the quality or lack thereof of some of those materials. And looked through sort of the history of the development of my own ideas on some of those materials, looked at the quality of materials that others had developed later on, and compared them to my own, and was quite astonished to find that the sort of standard of material was raised rather rapidly over a period of about 10 years from the early 90s into the late 90s by a group of fairly small people. Folks like Chris Seaman, if you'll pardon the mention, who really shepherded the development of, and I hesitate to use the word canon, but sort of more consistency with source material and gaming material. The sort of the first forays into directly relating gaming material and Tolkien with the first edition of our modules, I think it's safe to say that they were fairly poor when you look at consistency with the source material and the gaming material. They were, and some of them, very, very fun gaming material. They were, some of them, very well written, but not, in many cases, very well researched, necessarily, or very consistent, even with each other or internally. Because the goals were quite different then, because the reasons that people were writing were different than they are now. And then sometime in the early 90s, the idea began to surface that there would be a second edition, and that one of the goals of that second edition would be to sort of change the focus of what Merck was trying to do. And that is when I got involved, lo those many years ago, with Iron Crown directly, and did begin to fill a sort of unofficial role at Iron Crown with vetting or sort of pre-editing material as it came in manuscripts or initially actually it was just proposals for sort of consistency with primary source material and things like that. Nothing terribly difficult or too involved, And I did that for a number of years. And then, due to a number of circumstances, sort of pulled away from that, and there was an organization that was formed around that time, the Guild of Freelance Writers, and the vast majority of whom work for Iron Crown Enterprises. And they formed, or we formed, a publication called the Guild Companion, which published articles, adventures, modules, essays, based on primarily Iron Crown gaming systems, not just Middle-earth Roleplaying, but Rollmaster, Space Master, etc. The Guild Companion is still around and still publishing monthly. And there are a number of those authors that were originally involved still working. I am the Middle-earth editor for that publication. However, until just recently, we have not been publishing any Middle-earth material because the dark hand of Sauron had reached out to us.
It has grown long indeed.
Yes, his hand has grown long indeed. However, I have been given by our general editor, Nicholas Caldwell, the okay to continue publishing again. Things are opening up a little more. There will be more of an open atmosphere, not just with the excellent work that the folks associated with Merp.com, with all of the folks that are here, but other sort of organizations as well. I just wanted to point out that there is some hope for the future. Things are opening up. Anyhow, at that point in time, when I sort of became involved with them, that's when Chris got involved at Iron Crown and did it is an unmistakably better job than I had ever done doing the job that I had done. I got more deeply involved with Iron Crown, embedding, editing, and working with them on second edition material. And you will see, if you look through the published second edition material, at the very end, before Iron Crown lost the license through various legal shenanigans, you will see the quality of those modules and materials that are being published really reached an apex that unfortunately, as far as gaming company or commercial material related to Middle-earth has not been matched since and had not been matched before. Shortly after the Cypher gained the license, the very, very restrictive license through Miramax, which had gotten its, or New Line, which had gotten its license from Tolkien Enterprises, I was contacted to do the material for Cypher, which I did, and worked with the Cypher on several of their publications. In the same sort of role, I did some vetting, I did some sort of pre-editing, worked with some of the authors that were doing manuscripts for them. I think only one actual publication with my name on it, thankfully, I mean, regrettably, it is an excellent system. And then that sort of brings us to today. It has been many, many years now that I look back, surprisingly to myself, 6 to 7, maybe 8 years, since I have produced anything of consequence with Middle-earth gaming. I hesitate to make any real strong commitment, but we have talked here. There has been some amount of discussion about what we're going to be doing in the future. Thomas's excellent work with the maps, some other efforts that are in place. There will be more work coming out of this group of people, and I have no doubt that it will be excellent work. But what I'd like to sort of go into is to talk about the different kinds of people, because this is not the only group that is working on that kind of material, on Middle-earth gaming material. There are other groups out there. And there are really, there's an old discussion that's been going on for many, many years about the sort of two groups of people that produce gaming materials from Middle-earth. There are the purists and the enthusiasts. And many I know out in the community at large view this group and many of the members of it as sort of the purists, as the elite, and sort of look at this group and say, wow, I wish I could do that. I wish I could be part of that. What I'm going to try to lay out is sort of the idea that and illustrated by my own sort of path that I have taken, that anyone who really has a love of Tolkien and gaming can get to any point that they want to in producing this material. We all, every one of us, started at some point. Secondary works like the Silmarillion started from primary sources and were developed really on their own, with different levels of skill, different levels of ability, but also with different purposes in mind. For us, that those purposes are gaming, but even within the gaming community, there are different purposes. And your purpose really drives your goals and what you want to do. My point is, if there is someone out there that really wants to produce Middle-earth gaming material, then simply produce it. Put it out there for other people to look at. There is a large community, a rather larger community than you may think, who will look at it, and if you are, for lack of a better term, afraid of it being critiqued, of it being commented on, of it being destroyed, please don't be. Don't think that if someone else, no matter how much you respect their previous work, makes comments on your work that are negative or corrective in your opinion, or not necessarily positive, that is some sort of a negative comment on the fact whether or not you should be doing any work. That is not the point. If someone takes the time to actually read your work and make a critique of it, that means that they do care and that they want you to continue doing work. And we all, every single one of us that has ever produced anything related to Tolkien, or for that matter, any artistic endeavor, had to start somewhere and were critiqued by others and have to deal with that critique. And it may sound trite, but it does improve us. I look at my own early work and I think, you know, if I hadn't had people telling me, well, that's quite ridiculous, why did you do it that way? I never would have changed, and I would still be producing the same level of honestly quite poor material that I was producing 15 years ago. So don't be afraid to put your things out there, your ideas out there. Write whatever comes to mind. Write adventures, write essays, short little essays, ideas, anything that comes to mind. Put it out there in the community. The venue has changed drastically over the last even 5 years. The venue used to be that everything related to Tolkien gaming, not everything, but the vast majority of things, went through gaming companies, through commercial endeavor, first through Iron Crown Enterprise, and then through Decipher. The venue now is quite different. It is now more of an academic community, not to say that you have to be an academic to participate, but that it is more of an open sort of discussion venue where you put your work out there, it's commented on by others, and then revised or not by the original author. There's a lot of give and take and a lot of discussion, and that is healthy. And sometimes it's not necessarily even friendly. There are instances on some of the mailing lists, for instance, where people get quite heated and quite emotional about their opinions and their points of view. That, however, for the community as a whole, is a very healthy thing to happen. It's not a bad thing. Because you get different points of view, things that you may not have thought of, things that you may not have even considered. You have a large community of people with many different disciplines looking at the same issue from different angles. And when you're talking about gaming, you're really talking about a large picture. You have different, your audience is not just yourself. It's not just a vanity work, although it could be. Many of my own are. And are therefore largely unpublishable. But you're actually writing for other people. And those other people have very different reasons for using gaming material. So you want a large exposure to make your material more useful to others. I'd also like to point out that as was pointed out by Michael Martinez earlier, that there are different, when he was talking about Thomas's new maps, that you create these new plateaus or standards from time to time. There are these sort of explosions of creativity, of quality that become the new standards. It is very important for the people who have created these standards to continue working with the people that are working into this community to pass on what they have developed, to work these folks into that community so that there can be sort of a passing on of this, of not just the actual developed standards, but the methodologies by which those standards were developed. That is very important. That is perhaps the most important thing that the people who have developed those standards can pass on. How did you do it? That cannot be given to the new folks except through open discussion, except through participation in these mailing lists, through communication. I very strongly encourage anyone, again, who is out there wanting to produce material to just publish it, even just post it to a mailing list, post it to a place like work.com, submit it somewhere so that it can get edited by someone, so that it can get published or posted, so that people can perhaps see it in a magazine like Other Minds, and comment on it, and sort of invoke a discussion of it and say, no, that's not right, I don't agree with that, and then say why. And then get involved in the discussion and learn sort of how these discussions work and what the sources are that people keep going back to develop these high quality sorts of pieces that become these standards that people look to, that people continue to go back to. That is the most important thing that we really need to look towards building, is that sort of discussion and that sort of community to pass on those methodologies. I know that sounds very boring, it's very scientific, you know, sounding or academic sounding kind of stuff. I apologize because I don't know how to make it sound more exciting. But for me it is, and for many of us it is. And if it sounds exciting to those of you that are out there wanting to produce this material, I very, very strongly encourage you to participate. There are many, many, pardon me, examples of this happening with Middle-earth gaming material, and I can name several. Other Hands is, you know, the sort of predecessor of Other Minds, is a perfect example of this. MERP Second Edition itself sort of went through this sort of phase. You know, the MERP, there was a MERP mailing list where a lot of this sort of discussion occurred before anything really went to publication. There was a lot of discussion about the things, the manuscripts or the proposals that went through ICE. On the literary side, there's a lot of that kind of discussion. The linguistic lists, there is an immense amount of discussion about the linguistics of Tolkien and what means. What does it mean to include even just something as small as a particular phoneme in a particular branch of Elvish? I want to stress again that anybody can do this. It doesn't take someone who has a PhD to do this work. It takes somebody who loves Tolkien, and it takes somebody who loves gaming, and it takes somebody who has dedication. You've heard many of the speakers this weekend talk about real life, getting, I don't like to phrase it this way, but it's the easiest way to phrase it, getting in the way of what's truly important. And there's a poor way to phrase it, but it's the truth. Many of us have commitments and have things that have to take precedence over some of this very time-consuming work. We need a larger community. We need fresh blood. I am appealing in as strong a way as I know how to those of you that are out there that have reams of notes sitting in boxes in spiral bounders that have been sitting for 10 years, to go back through them and send them to somebody that you know that might be interested in them, to send them to the mailing lists. But be open to being critiqued on open forums. Be open to that. Don't take it as a personal affront when somebody says that they don't agree with the way you've done things. If I posted some of the things that I have written, if I reposted some of my work, I would quite possibly never be invited back to any open forum again on Tolkien or gaming. I'm quite sure, certain. So basically, that's my talk. I really, really encourage anyone who has any ideas on Tolkien and gaming to get them out there in the public somewhere where someone else can see them. It doesn't matter how silly you think they are. It doesn't matter, more importantly, how important you think you are or think you aren't. Get your ideas out there. And do not be afraid of people who you think may be more important than they really are, to actually see them and comment on them.
Hopefully Eddie will calm down. Thank you for all those words. I wanted to add a couple more. You and I have already started talking this weekend about what comes next and what do we really need next. I think this is a big thing that needs to be done, and a to-do list needs to be created, I think. A to-do list of supplements or resources that we need to push on with designing Middle Earth gaming. And certainly Thomas is covering one corner of that, and there's a great deal of persuasiveness to his logic that one should begin from the ground up. But at the same time, the practical needs of gamers demand that attention also be given to putting together just good adventure material, or as I like to say, mid-level stuff like Hands of the Healer, where we focus on an aspect of the world that is directly relevant and practical to choosing a profession for a character in the game. And I think we need to identify collective projects like that that can be undertaken by many people right now. And so that's, I think, one way that we can bring a lot more people into the fold.
And I certainly agree. And I think that there needs to be, and I hope there will be, after this weekend, some serious discussion of that on the open forums, on the mailing lists, about what that ought to be. Thomas has given us a great starting point. And I think we really need to discuss, all of us, not just the people that were here this weekend, but all of us, what comes next, and what that sort of more practical and immediately useful material ought to be, while, as many of us can, continue to work on the sort of more foundational material, as is possible.
What do you think would be the most important thing to engage people in right now to get the momentum going?
One part of me would think to say, just sort of my knee-jerk reaction would be, we need linguists, simply because that's the way that Tolkien built things. But the practicality of that is that linguists that can devote the amount of time that would be necessary for something like that, a few and far between. I think really the most important thing that we need to try to engage as many people as possible in, as soon as possible, would be to try to at least get any material that they have already into the pipeline. Get them to become engaged in discussions about that material and see what we have available in the community, as far as what sort of disciplines are available, what people are good at, what people love to do, what people are interested in doing. So, to sort of answer your question, it's less I think immediately that's a matter of what needs to be done as far as material goes, but more what needs to be done organizationally or sort of from a human resources perspective. I despise those words. What is available as far as people go? And that needs to be determined, not necessarily organized, but it needs to be made available to everyone. Oh, you need somebody to work on, you know, this aspect of what you have. You probably should talk to this person or this person. Because right now, the community is a little fractured, and we do have some communication issues. I think that is the thing that we need to work on the most right now.
There is a group of people who for several years have been publishing, well, I don't know, publishing is the right word, but they're called Middle Earth Fan Fiction Awards. And they've actually got usually several hundred entrants every year. And people go in and they look at the stories and the essays. It's not all about fan fiction, actually. Some of my essays were submitted a couple of years ago. Most of them were actually disallowed because they were professional, written for pay. But what about getting the NEPA to consider a gaming module category or setting something up along the same lines as what they're doing?
I can't speak for everyone, but I think that sounds like a great idea. I think that any exposure that gaming in general can get, and specifically Middle-earth gaming can get, would be great. To be honest with you, it's my right. I haven't even heard of the group. I don't generally concern myself with fan fiction, and probably should a little more, because I think there is some, perhaps, talent in the... I'm sorry, I shouldn't. There is some talent in the ranks upon ranks of people who write fan fiction. Unfortunately, a lot of them don't take perhaps a path to lead them to actual disciplined writing that would get them, I think, where they need to go. I have read some interesting poems, actually, that people write in style and subject matter of Tolkien that are quite good. Maybe we can discuss that in particular.
And just to dovetail on that, that's of course how I've been finding time to actually work on the gaming is through essentially what becomes a fan fiction medium, the online gaming stuff, not just for getting players involved, but me as the game, as the world designer, that's how I work right now. And for me, that's simply a stage towards creating a gazetteer or a module at some point. But it strikes me that perhaps some of these people who conceive of fan fiction simply as telling unique stories with their favorite characters in the world, perhaps they might actually be, if they knew what we were doing on this end, they might actually find the world resources to be attractive and productive to what they want to do, and that we may find that there's some sort of mutual benefit that could come out of it, that it's not just that they would be helping us, but we could be helping them as well.
Certainly, and I think it sounds like really communication is starting to come. I think that we have been insular for too long, and we really need to start communicating with the larger groups. I think that when we have a particular need, we're very good at going out and finding what we need, but that we really need to start focusing on just an open, a wider sort of community, not just people who we know that have done writing with Middle-earth gaming, or even have done writing in the gaming community at large, connections that we have with people who have written for gaming companies in general, but with people in the Tolkien community at large, Salo and other linguists, folks that Michael knows that have done work with gaming, and open up some sort of venue of some kind that we can actually openly communicate with these folks, and they can communicate with us, because I think we may have some serious resources for some of these groups to offer, and certainly we could learn quite a bit from some of these groups.
notes, but I forgot it.
Oh. Well, Chris is going to put the microphone.
It's not going to help that I'm reading this.
I'm sure there are scores online. Scores.
Well, there's some football scores.
You juggled the baby there.
Yeah, not at the moment. All the charities.
Well,
I know this is an unscheduled presentation.
Yes, yes.
I know. You talked about a discussion. Yeah. You talked about a discussion. Do we have an e-list here, Yahoo e-list, or how does the discussion go? If you do it in a chat room, it's gone after you do it. How do you see the discussion as panning out?
Well, there are several mailing lists. The Merck.com lists, there are the linguistic mailing lists. Part of the issue that I'm trying to bring in for is that there are all these different mailing lists for different aspects of just even within the Tolkien gaming community that deal with specific aspects, and that's fine, but there is really... there's no general sort of communication medium for the community at large. But it's their mailing list. It's communication via email is probably the most stable medium, and that's what we've been using for years for various projects, for various lists.
So are you saying it would be an internal email discussion, or are you talking about a specific e-list that we would be using?
I'll let Bach answer. I mean, I don't know how many lists you've got. Yeah, so I know I'm on a dozen or so related lists, as well as web forums and websites. There's so many. Michael has his Endor Google Groups list, which discusses many things Tolkien, not usually role-playing related, although sometimes that comes up. The Merck.com list has been around for a long time. It still tends to lean more towards the old ICE Merck stuff, despite many efforts of trying to get people to diversify, but it's slowly getting there. There's, of course, the Decipher, more forums, I guess, and yeah, they've slowed down. Hall of Fire, they have their thing going. There's not really a discussion there, but the magazine does stuff. Of course, the new Other Minds magazine has forums set up, Merck.com has forums. The problem with Merck.com is it had some really good forum software for a while, and then we moved systems, and the particular forum plugin was really crappy, to be honest. And we've been frustrated. Finally, the new version of Merck.com came out a couple of weeks has a proper layout for forums, and people have been happy with it. And that should pick that productivity back up on that, in that format. And the nice thing about forums is it makes it more searchable resources without having to fight all the spam address lists. Like when you open up your email list to indexing, you have to try to create all these filters to try to prevent people's emails from getting harvested for spamming. And the forums tend to anonymize that a little bit more if you set them up right. And some people just prefer a web forum, and some people prefer email lists. And frequently, never the two like to meet. Some people really are adamant about using only email. The number one request for a feature at Merck.com over 3 years, year after year, since 1998, the number one request has been, can't you have a web forum that is integrated with the email list so the posts interact with each other? And there is software out there that partially does it, like you get emails from the forum, but then the replies don't really show it. It's still looking for something that really integrates it the way people want it. But that has been the number one because of the people there. It's people who want to do the web-based and people who want to do the email-based. So, I mean, this is a technology issue, but it is this fracturing. There's the ICE Merck gamers still doing it. There's the Yahoo Fan Modules group, or now it's Fan Sourcebooks group, and they have their particular take. And there was, for a while, a D20 Middle-Earth group. It actually been two or three, and they started up and died, and started up and died. And now we've got the D20 evolving, some of it based on that. So it is pretty fractured. And so trying to rally all those resources to try to work together is a challenge. I mean, you have a lot of different people with a lot of different views of how it should be, and egos. do you have any particular idea, other than, you know, potentially through Guild Companion and other wines and such, about how that could be integrated back together? I mean, before the dying of IC, I believe it was pretty well integrated. Wasn't the community much more coordinated and integrated into the whole, or was it pretty fractured even then? No. It was still pretty fractured.
It's been that way since I can remember, forever in agreement. I'm not certain that it can be ever be fully integrated. I think really the push, though, ought to be, instead of trying to bring in everybody, I'm not trying to say that everyone should be in the same room. What I'm trying to say is that we should open the doors for people outside of Middle-earth Gaming to be able to come in and share with us ideas, and for us to be able to share our ideas with them. Is that more clear?
Yeah. And the goal of MRF.com has always been to try to become the center for all these different views, that if you're at all interested in Tolkien and or gaming in Tolkien's world, that it would all be there. And it's okay to be fractured if it's all through the same portal way, because that way you can have your Decipher group in this part of the site, and your MRF group in this part of the site, and your purists in this part of the site, etc. But if it all is there, then they're much more likely to interact with each other on different levels. And for a while there, that was actually going fairly well. You were seeing, when web-based forums were working, that was happening. The forums were active in the D20 section, the forums were active in the MRP section, the fan modules, people were starting to interact there, and there were some just pure, you know, Tolkien discussion pieces that were starting, and literally the technology broke the integration of the community. So hopefully that'll turn around. So that's been, you know, my and others' approach to try to do this, and it's been on hold for a while. Did you have any specific ideas on what you think the approach should be, though?
I think as long as the technology is there as a platform, if people are pushing material into the community and trying to get their ideas out there, then the integration will have to follow. So long as people are open to getting their ideas out there.
Without being shot down.
Precisely. As long as people don't want to insulate themselves into their own small groups where they know their ideas are going to be accepted, as long as they want to get their ideas out there, to be exposed to critique, and to get them out there to sort of propagate them and get them included in the larger, legendarium of Middle-earth Gaming, then, you know, if that's the impetus, and not just either, you know, I got my words in black and white on a page, or, you know, which is fine motivation. It's the one that gets most of us into, initially, any of this kind of work. As long as what people are trying to do is just submit material to get discussion going, as long as that's what they're trying to do, and not trying to insulate themselves into their own small little groups where they know their ideas are already accepted, and they're just, you know, creating an echo chamber for their ideas, that's what creates an issue where we don't have people exchanging ideas. And to be honest with you, most of the groups that I've been involved in, that isn't what they're trying to do. It's just that nobody has really brought out that problem and pushed them or brought it out to them that is an actual problem. I haven't thought of it that way, that's an issue. You know, there are personalities that have issues, and we all know that works like Thomas's Maps. There are individuals out there that don't agree with Thomas, but they're not the kind of individuals that will instead create their own little group and sit and say, well, we don't agree. The vast majority of those individuals will say, in this community, at large, will want to challenge and want to discuss. And this isn't a group that are wilting flowers by any stretch of the imagination. So I don't think the problem is that they don't want to share. I think it's that nobody has sort of invited them and said, please, you know, it's always been, just give me your adventures so we can publish them, and then we're done with you. Instead of, we want your ideas, we want sort of this stew instead of salad. You know what I'm saying?
Well, let me make a
proposal then. How about if Merck launches the 2008 MERPA, the Merck Awards 2008, Middle Earth Role Playing Awards. Throw open, you know, take a couple months to put together the rules for submission. Throw open the field. I'll promote it across my network, of course. Talk, you can promote it on Merck, and we can all reach out to the other token sites and just let them know what's going on. And ask them to join in and support the effort, and okay, see how many people step up to the plate and take a shot.
That's great, and then we can announce the winners here.
Certainly. And I was going to mention that this venue, as an event, is really a necessary component. The mailing list, the forums, and all of that is the foundation of the discussion, but really this sort of sitting down, discussing, you know, actually meeting the people and sitting and speaking with them and actually comparing handwritten physical sort of media is much more important than I think many people think. And having a venue like this once a year, possibly more, is extremely important. Please, talk. I'm not suggesting that you bear any more on your back. But what I'm saying is that this gives an opportunity for people to meet, for people to meet others that they have not had an opportunity to meet. But the opportunity to meet Thomas Morwinski coming in from Germany is one that I did not expect to ever have.
Yeah.
I had never met Chris in person, although we have communicated for years and years and years. It's a great treat. I've never met Michael in person before, although we had some years in the past communicated a bit. It's a great treat to be able to meet all these people and communicate with them on a personal level. And, you know, when I go back to my home and I sit down and write, it gives me some inspiration. I have a face. I have a personality then that I can write to, that I can write for, that I can communicate with on a more, you know, sort of real level. This is a very important venue, and having an award ceremony or some sort of public expression of the community, of and to the community at large, I think is a great idea, one that can and sort of act as, not to be crass, sort of a marketing sort of push to sort of get those ideas, or the idea of getting ideas publicized, is a very important one. As long as it's done well, done tastefully, it can be a very, very strong sort of help to the community. Definitely.
Yeah, I love that idea, Michael. That's great. And definitely, if you break it in categories, I mean, you can have awards for the Decipher LTR or the MERP or D20 or what have you. And that's great. That's definitely something we'll have to talk about and build towards making happen, I think.
Let me make the suggestion that the one commitment that this group could make to the writers, because writers are probably operating only in one game system, is that we could do conversion of the statistics to multiple game systems for players, so that regardless of the system that they run, whether it's MERP, Rollmaster, Decipher, D20, I don't know, there's others, that they would have compatible statistics. That's not going to be a big deal on one module a year for winter. That's just my feeling.
Certainly. I think it's important to be inclusive. I sort of shy away from any particular kind of commitment to particular systems, certainly, because the idea is not necessarily to favor any particular systems. I wouldn't want to do conversions for MERP, for Rollmaster, for D20, for Decipher, and then forget RuneQuest or or CODA, or I guess CODA's the site, or, you know, there are so many systems that people use. It's not conceivable that you could write conversions for all of them. But, you know, there are major systems, and people could request, et cetera, certain options.
That's where the community steps in.
Exactly.
And they do that. And, you know, there's Hitherlands and Amber-Gwena are two systems out there, which Hitherlands almost made it here this year, and they're going to try to have their own table here next year, which is a new Tolkien-focused gaming system. It's a community-based thing. So the conversions can be structured, like, you know, through the groups here and such, as far as saying, hey, we have a call for this, who's willing to step up the plate, if you know D20 and you know Merc, would you be willing to do the conversion, something like that. But all of us are juggling pretty heavy loads, so anybody, you know, Carl, anybody else who wants to step up for those conversions, let's get on the list, get on the site, say, this is my skill set. Here's what I'm offering. This is how Merc.com's existed. People come on and say, I want to do news or something like that.
I believe I heard Carl just volunteered.
Yeah, it sounded like it.
I can convert any adventure to Merc. That's not a problem. Merc and Rollmaster together. It's not a problem.
Just give me your email address afterwards and get you going.
You may have just bitten off more than you
can. Anybody else have any other questions, comments? Okay. Well, thank you so much, Joe. That was great. Good to have you here. And take care.